Hello and welcome in to the first episode of Double Take here on VIC Radio. This is Max O'Neill alongside Sam Cavalli and Andrew Vito. Thank you for joining me today, guys. Today what we're going to discuss is Super Bowl. It's a big day, obviously, Super Bowl Sunday. Biggest day of the year for football fans. We got 49ers Chiefs today. We're going to talk about position by position breakdown, matchups to watch, predictions at the end, of course, and everything in between. So let's just jump right into it.
Max O'Neill alongside my partner Jake McShane here at Carpwood Field on the campus of Ithaca College, as the Ithaca Bombers are up 1-0 over the Hamilton College Continentals here at halftime.
Hello, this is Max O'Neill, the New England Patriots that defeated the Los Angeles Rams 13-3 last night in the Super Bowl. The Patriots were led by running back Sonny Michel's 94 yards rushing and one touchdown, which was the difference in the game. The Super Bowl MVP was awarded to Patriots receiver Julian Edelman, who had 10 receptions for 141 yards. This is now quarterback Tom Brady's 6th Super Bowl ring, which breaks the tie with Charles Haley for most for a player all time. The Ithaca College Bombers basketball teams were in action this weekend as the women went 1-1 and the men went 2-0. On Friday night, the men's basketball team got a commanding victory over the Skidmore College Thoroughbreds by a score of 94-62, led by Peter Azima's 25-point, 10-rebound day. And the women fell to Skidmore 61-59, with Grace Cannon leading the way with 16 points. On Saturday, both teams won, with the men getting a hard-fought 89-85 overtime win over RPI, thanks to Riley Thompson's 26 points. The women got a 72-66 overtime win over RPI, thanks to Cassidy O'Malley's 21 points. The women sent the game to overtime on Saturday thanks to a half-court buzzer beater from Annie Giannotti that made it to number 8 on SportsCenter's top plays yesterday. Over on the other hill, the Cornell Big Red men's ice hockey team fought to a 1-1 tie against RPI with the lone goal coming from Mitch Vandalin. The women's hockey team welcomed RPI to line a rink on Saturday, and with a Kristen O'Neill hat trick, came away victorious by the 2-5-0. Now back to pro sports. In the second game of the post-Porzingis era, the New York Knicks had all of the players they acquired available and lost to the Dallas Mavericks 96-84 at Madison Square Garden yesterday. With the loss, the Knicks fall to 10-42 on the season and continue their tank for Duke University freshman phenom Zion Williamson, with this being their 14th straight loss at home and 13th straight loss overall. For WICB Sports, this is Max O'Neill. Hello, this is Max O'Neill. The number 22 Ithaca Bombers volleyball team goes to Brockport, New York to face off against Hamilton College today. Ithaca is looking to improve to 4-3 this season after a win over Swarthmore College 3-1 last Saturday. If Ithaca wins, this would be their 5th win over Hamilton in this series and the first win over Hamilton since 2012. Cornell Women's Volleyball is in Moraga, California today to face off against St. Mary's College. Cornell is looking to improve to 3-1 this season after a 5-set loss to Hartford on Saturday. Now to pro sports. In a battle of 0-1 teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came out on top 20-14 over the Carolina Panthers last night. The Bucs were led by quarterback Jameis Winston's 208-yard, one-touchdown day, while receiver Chris Godwin had most of those yards, catching 8 passes for 121 yards and a touchdown. The New York Yankees had a doubleheader yesterday and swept the two games. In Game 1, the Yankees got a big 10-4 win thanks to Aaron Judge's scoring, bases-loaded wild pitch, giving the Yankees a 5-2 lead, which would hold up. In Game 2, the Yankees won 6-4 on a Gio Urshela 2-run home run at the top of the ninth. With the two wins and a Tampa Bay Rays loss last night, the Bronx Bombers' magic number to clinch the AL East is now down to 5. The New York Mets beat up on the Arizona Diamondbacks 11-1 yesterday afternoon in Queens. The Mets were paced by a team record 6 home runs in the rout. The Mets are now 2 games back at the second wildcard spot in the National League. For WICB Sports, this is Max O'Neill.
And we're back here at Kostrzynski Field as the Ithaca College Bombers scored 3 runs in that second inning. Now are up 7-0. With RIT coming to bat, Ithaca really been playing very well. And the batter here is putting a bunt up, and she takes it back. That'll be a ball. Outside pitch by Congdon Carroll with the bunt there. Let's see if she tries it again. She will try it again. And the pitch takes that back again. Right down the middle. Strike. I don't know why she took it back there. That could have been a good bunt attempt to just get on. But she did, and it was a strike right down the middle. And that's a high pitch by Congdon. 2-1 count.
Yep, Congdon, third inning for her so far. I think it's sticking with their starter.
And that's a strike, 2-2 count here on Carroll. RIT has no hits today thus far through two innings.
Yep, just two walks, first on a
their only
full
base
ball
runners.
Count, and then.
Yep. And now we had a full count, 3-2 on Carroll. Putting a bunt up again, takes it back, and that'll be a ball. The third walk given up today by Haley Congdon for Ithaca.
Second baseman number 8, Danielle Hawks.
No RIT base runners thus far have actually made it past first base.
And Hotz is stepping up to the plate right now, the second baseman for RIT. Let's see what she can do here. And the pitch, that's outside. Catcher immediately jumps up, looks to first. But the batter, Carroll, manages to get back. And the pitch, that's going to be lined into the gap. Runner goes to third. Good to play by the center fielder there to catch that ball and not let it go all the way to the wall. Wait, no outs. RIT is threatening for the first time in this game.
Yep, bit of a wake-up call there for Ithaca's field.
Yes. They were, a little bit asleep. I think they were lulled by Congdon pitching very, very well. But, now they have to be on their toes. And the pitch, that'll be it. A strike on the batter, O'Donnell, who is the designated player today for RIT. And that liner to third, runner from first moves up to second, and the third baseman checked up on the runner on third. She stays there.
Out. Number 10, Aaron Gwinnan.
Third baseman actually stared down Carroll as she was thinking about trying to sneak home.
Yes. And Gwinnan is up now with one out. Runners on second and third. And the pitch, that'll be lined to third. Looks the runner back again. Great job by Congdon on the last two batters to get two quick outs and prevent the runs from scoring. A pop fly to the outfield, the run probably scores. The easy grab ball to third. The runner gets looked back, and they have to stay there. Carroll has to stay there at third. And now Lunderman at the plate. She grounds it up the middle. That'll score one. Let's see if it'll score two. It will score two runs. Great job by Lunderman, who hit it where, where RIT wasn't. But two outs here.
Yeah, just a beautiful base hit right up that center line.
Yes. And now Raquel Estrada, the third baseman, is up. She flew out to the shortstop last at bat. And that's a strike. That looked a little bit outside, but that was a strike. And the pitch, that's going to be outside off the plate. Congdon really needs to get out of this inning, and that's a pop-up that'll go foul. I don't know if you heard that on the crowd, Mike, but that smacked against the bleachers right there.
A lot of foul balls actually going straight back in the bat net behind the plate.
Yes. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's the wind?
Possibly.
And that pitch will be off the plate to Estrada. 2-2 count, two outs. Two runs home. this inning for RIT. And the pitch. That's a big strike. Oh, no. I guess she foul-tipped it into the glove. I'm sorry.
It didn't actually look like she made contact.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, that was inning ending to me. But I guess she tipped it. And that's way outside, up high. About head height. And the pitch, that's inside. Good job there by Estrada to work the walk. Runners move up. Now runners on first and second. And the catcher, the catcher, Baldwin, has to take off her leg guards really quickly. She was on deck with her leg guards on as the mound visit is occurring and step up to the plate.
Congdon looking to finish off this inning.
It does not appear that Ithaca has anybody up, so it'll be Ithaca's pitcher, Congdon, for the rest of the way, at least in this inning. And that pitch, it was a good stop there by Ithaca, by Peters there.
I mean, this seems pretty obvious, but they have to hit the three ball. They're 10 for 28 today, which is a big reason this game is not a bigger lead for Ithaca than it is right now. You know, I think if those start to fall, Ithaca will get back to a comfortable lead and, you know, start to go down their bench a little bit more, much like we saw in the win against Skidmore the other day.
Need very much to keep taking advantage of Tom Dillman. He's really struggling, I think, today so far in the early going. There was one chance I remember in the first half where the guy just dribbled right past him and then on net, and Max Lichtenstein had to make a nice save.
Coach Raymond kept it very simple to his team, saying, quote, "Get it done, be aggressive." That's the message that he hopes will carry this team to a second consecutive Groundbridge championship. And right now, that is working as Ithaca is up 6-4 on the boards. Thanks, guys. Sending it back to you. Thanks, guys. Ithaca is trying to get their second consecutive league title, a feat they haven't achieved since they won the Empire 8 in 2012-13 and 13-14. While Coach Raymond says this team is very much unlike last year's team due to an increase in scoring options this year. It looks like it's going to be a battle today with Ithaca only up 44-37. Thanks, guys. Sending it back to you. Thanks, guys. In both matchups versus Vassar this season, Ithaca led at the start of the second half by a combined score of 76-67. And this game is no different within the early going here. Ithaca up to 51-44. Last year in the final, they were down at halftime. Let's see if this game can be different. Thanks, guys. Sending it back to you. Thanks, guys. Coming out of the first half, Coach Mullins had some very strong words about his team's six assists, saying in no uncertain terms, quote, "We were terrible moving the ball. I was disgusted with our ball movement in the first half." That's all I have for now. Thanks, guys.
Exit the street because the truck's coming through. Notre Dame lost that game. Georgia did not win that game. Notre Dame had a very good chance to win that game at the end, and that showed that they played well enough to win that game. They just didn't execute enough. They had 85 penalty yards. Far and away the most that they've had under Brian Kelly in his 10 years at the helm of the University of Notre Dame. They shot themselves in the foot with those penalty yards all the time. They'd get a nice 10-yard gain, 15-yard gain, whatever. Boom, it's coming right back. It's like, well, how are they going to make any momentum if they keep shooting themselves in the foot like that? And they keep just playing like that. And then in the second, so the first half was all Notre Dame. Notre Dame was up 10-7 at the half. And then they give up 6 points going into the fourth quarter. Still a very reasonable game. And then it all, and then they gave up 10 in the fourth, and they scored a touchdown at the end, and it was over. That one touchdown in the fourth, I think, really ended that game. I think Ian Book's 2 interceptions killed Notre Dame, too. He had 2 interceptions in the second half that said to Notre Dame, or that were drive killers for Notre Dame, that really, they were getting momentum, they were making plays, and he just chucked the ball into the hand. One of them was a deflection, and then one of them was just a trying to fit the ball into Chris Fink at the sideline to get a 15-yard gain. So that was 2 bad passes that need to be fixed. And Notre Dame didn't force enough turnovers. Notre Dame's 1 turnover that they forced was in the first half, and they got a touchdown out of it. So, you know, I'll take that. It was an unbelievable play. I remember screaming. Did you watch that play, Christian, or no?
I did, yeah, I did see it.
The fumble recovery on the kickoff, or on the punt. That was awesome. And Notre Dame was very inefficient on third down. 4 for 13 on third down, 1 for 3 on fourth down, too. You can't win games if you go 4 for 13 on fourth down, on third down, especially in an atmosphere like that, like they played in last night. I mean, that was something, too. They were not ready for that atmosphere. I think that's on Brian Kelly. I don't think they were ready for that atmosphere. Because all in the first half, they had to switch to a silent cadence, to just a clap, instead of a cadence of, you know, whatever they were saying. I don't know. I couldn't hear whatever Ian Book was saying. And Ian Book had to stand under center a lot. Because at one point, he had to throw a ball away, and they got a turnover on downs. I think it was because the snap flew over his head. There's a crossing runner right in front of the center. He heard the center heard something and snapped the ball. Ian Book wasn't ready for it. So that was disaster averted, but a disaster nonetheless. So I don't think Georgia won this game. I think Notre Dame lost this game, and I think the most devastating part for the University of Notre Dame, if you're a member of that team, is that you know you're not playing in the college football playoff this year because your strength of schedule now is going down by each week. Stanford's terrible. USC's terrible. Michigan lost, which we'll get to in a minute. And so you're going to play in the Rose Bowl, maybe. You're going to play in a good bowl game if you run the table, which I think you will. But you're not going to play in the college football playoff anymore. You're going to get a one-loss Georgia team in there. If they lose the SEC title game to Alabama, whoever loses of the 3 teams in the SEC that have a very good chance to make it, whoever loses the Alabama LSU game will have 1 loss, and whoever loses the probable SEC title game of Alabama Georgia will have 1 loss. If Alabama has 2 losses, they're out. A 2-loss team. If they lose to LSU and Georgia, they're out. But that won't happen because Alabama's Alabama, and they're going to win a title again. They're going to beat Clemson this time, I think. They're going to find a way to beat Trevor Lawrence. But we'll get to that in a few months, you know, on this show. But I think Notre Dame lost this game. I don't think Georgia won this game. I don't think Notre Dame did enough to win this game. I think they had a very good chance to win this game. I think, especially on that last play too, Chris Fink was wide open across the middle of the field. If you don't try to throwing it into Chase Claypool in double coverage, and you instead look at Chris Fink and throw it in, he maybe has 15 yards of free space to run after he makes that catch, and then you just, you know, get on your high horse, sprint to the line of scrimmage, chuck that thing into the dirt, stop the clock, get another play going, probably get a touchdown, kick the extra point, and I'm sitting here walking into the studio today like Conor McGregor, you know. Celebrating a Notre Dame comeback win instead of ranting and telling you to get off the street because the truck's coming through. Thank you for joining us here on Double Take. This has been Max O'Neill alongside Matt Price. Thank you for joining us.